Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
Welcome to Talk Music to Me, episode number 24. I am Alan.
And I'm Jess.
And we have a fun interview today. We have Jeff from Rockets Are Red. And if you don't know who he is, I bet you actually do know who he is. He designs tons of concert posters. He does a lot of really cool design and artwork that is everywhere. And so if you're online, you've definitely seen his work.
And we definitely have a lot of his work in our home.
Yeah, we do. We talk to him about that and a lot of other cool stuff. And we also talk about working with different musicians and what that's like, and it's a lot of fun. Before we get started, though, I think there's something we wanted to talk about real quick, and unfortunately, we lost a really good friend of the show, a really good friend just personally, and Brian Matthews. He had a massive heart attack a couple weeks ago, probably about a month back now, and it's really, really sad. He was... we met him on the Flogging Molly cruise, the cruise that we can't stop talking about on the show. And we actually met he and his wife, Shanna. They were the first people we met.
They saved us. Can I tell that story really quick?
Yeah, of course.
We were so excited to go on the cruise. And we were waiting. We got there so early to the cruise place. And we got all checked in. We were one of the first people.
We were the first people.
We were the first people. This is how like nerdy we are. We were very excited. And we sat there and we were watching everybody getting called by, was it numbers? And we were like, we didn't get a number. And I remember Shanna and Brian.
We would have been the first people on the boat.
We would have been the first people on the boat. Shanna and Brian go, oh, you guys got to have a number. And they were so sweet. And as soon as we got on the boat, so they saved us, because I don't even know if we would have ever gotten on the boat if we didn't know about the number thing. And then once we got on the boat, they like took us under their wing and we just saw them the entire time and basically just became family at that point. And Shanna is like the sweetest person ever. So is Brian. I just can't say enough good things.
And Devin, their son as well. I mean, just the best family.
Devin, we love you.
And so it's just a really, really sad day. I mean, it's been kind of a cloud. You know, Brian was a guy, I didn't know him super well. I'd only actually met him in person a few times. But he's one of those people where you feel like you're even closer than that. Like, I remember he's a big Kentucky fan, and I'm a Utah fan. And Utah fans, you know, we don't really like Kentucky because they broke our hearts too many times, but the Utes were going to go out and play Kentucky, and he invited us out there to go to the game and stay, and unfortunately it didn't work out, but those are just the kind of people they are. That's the kind of family they are. And it's a really, really sad day. It just felt like there's been a cloud kind of hanging over.
I know, we miss him.
Yeah, and it's really sad. So we just wanted to say a little something about Brian.
I know. Brian, the sweetest human in the whole world, really.
He will definitely be missed by a lot of people.
Oh, no. He made everyone family. So did Shanna and so did Dev. I feel like we just sort of adopted them. So Shanna and Dev, you guys are still family. We love you guys.
We're thinking about you guys every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just sucks, man.
It sucks. We miss you, Brian.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into this. I want to apologize real quick to Jeff from Rockets Are Red, because we did this interview a long time ago. We have two episodes actually in the can, and I've been, you know, we're still in quarantine here, even if the rest of the world isn't. And I don't know, you'd think you'd have more time, but I can't explain. I've just kind of been in a funk, and you know, there's no excuse for not getting this done. It's just kind of our style. Well, but it's just, I get to a point where I'm trying to find motivation to do anything, and I just don't have it. It's, I guess it's a bit of a depression. So I apologize to Jeff for letting this linger for so long.
And I apologize too, because I'm one of the, I'm sure a lot of people are going through this. My workplace actually has gotten overworked and under employed. And so I've been super busy with work. And so
Well, you have an excuse. That's the thing. I just can't bring myself to do anything.
Well, I'm too burned out after it. We just sort of lay there. And I feel like we should have had more motivation to do this because we were actually really excited because we really respect Jeff's work quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yes, we're sorry.
And we have one more episode, too, an interview that we recorded.
With Justin Lin. Yeah. So that's coming up.
And so that will come hell or high water. I will get that out next week for sure. But I just want to apologize to those two. It's, it's just a weird.
I know. And
a weird time.
We've lost a few friends in this last couple of months. And I think unexpectedly, it's just been a rough patch, man.
It's been, this sucks. I'm over this.
I think we're just kind of, to the other people out there who are having a little bit of a hard time, man, we feel you. So we feel you.
Yeah, it's tough. Anyway, let's have some fun. It's Jeff from Rockets Are Red, and this is Talk Music to Me. Jeff Everett joins us on Talk Music to Me, and you would probably know him better as Rockets Are Red, designing everything music. I mean, we've got a bunch of your posters, a bunch of your work hanging in our house, mm-hmm. and we are super excited to have you on the show. Woo-hoo! Coming to us from Washington, D.C. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. My cat, Yoshi, is currently biting the fuck out of my
hand. He really is. That was impressive. It went from really cute and cute a cat to, he's going to murder him.
That's how it goes. That's why I don't trust cats.
I know. So we're super excited because we do have a lot of Jeff's posters. And we're big supporters of him. And so we have 1,000 questions. But first, before we get into that, tell us about what music you listen to, because this is a music podcast, but it's going to tie back into your art because your art is music related. So tell us, and are you sad that concerts are not going right now?
I am very sad that concerts are not going for two reasons. One, I get paid to do concert posters mm-hmm. and event posters. And two, I like going to them mm-hmm. and standing in the back or totally pulling the dad thing where I'm going to stand up on the balcony
uh-huh.
in the areas where people can't touch me.
That's where I am. Alan's usually in the front and I'm I'll be in the back. People are touching me. I don't like it.
Yeah, I literally, one of the last concerts I went to, and I can't remember their name because it was some Scandinavian pagan metal band that had literally people with antlers and shit.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Everyone cosplayed.
Is that where COVID came from?
What was that?
Is that where COVID came from with the bats? Were there bats?
Probably. But my favorite was we're trying to get into the show. And people are literally bringing swords.
Whoa.
And bringing huge elk skulls on sticks. And I'm I don't want to be around any of you.
Holy shit. That's scary.
I did I'm going to drop a couple names here and be away from all of you.
Yeah.
And I was. And still somebody had a staff with a flag on it, which blocked half the view.
Oh my God.
I was I've gone to wrestling shows where people have the mohawk or the huge whatever.
Uh-huh.
So you can't see the stage. It's like that. You're come on, man.
See, we always get stuck behind the super tall guy because we're little.
Yeah,
and we always get the almost 7 foot tall person randomly standing in front of us.
And without fail.
It always happens.
Are you standing there and he does the, excuse me.
Yes.
And then walks in front
yes.
of you?
Yes. Every time without fail, he comes to meet. It's a tall guy and he'll come and meet his friends who are standing right in front of us.
It always happens.
Because we pick out, because when you're short, you got to pick out your viewing spots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we get a perfect view spot. And then, of course, without fail, some tall guy stands right in front of us every time.
See, it's usually the tall guy. We get the tall guy in front of us. And there's always the one guy who just randomly is goosing me during the show that I'm I'm going to kill someone.
So I went to go see Detroit Cobras in New York City 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably 40 people there. It was a very small show. Like literally my living room was bigger than the venue. And I was like, I love this band. I'm going to be up front. And I'm standing there. I get there early. Uh-huh. I get up front. I have my diet soda. You know, I'm just like, I'm going to watch this band. I'm very excited. And like group of people came in and this woman is standing like behind me and her friend would reach over and like goose her every once in a while. And she'd be like, boom, what the fuck, dude? And I'd be like, what? And she'd be like, stop touching me.
Oh my God.
Like, I was like, you're behind me. And she's like, you're reaching your hand behind and like pinching my ass. And I'm like, I'm not. And it literally, oh it went God. On like 4 or 5 times and I could see the friend reaching oh over and doing it.
And I'm sure the friend was just loving every second of this.
And so like, I'm sitting there, like the woman got so angry, she like punched me and I'm like, I don't know what to do in this situation.
You're like I'm sorry.
I'm like, I'm literally a Boy Scout. And I'm just like, band play.
You're like, look, this is a big deal for me. I never go to the front. Please leave me alone.
And then I learned not to enjoy anything.
Yeah, exactly. So have you been listening to anything fun while you're stuck in quarantine?
I got up my trusty phone to see what I've been listening to. Because when you get old and have kids, you cannot own things. Because they will be destroyed.
It's true. It's very true.
Do you have the "this is why we can't have nice things" speech? Like on the daily?
Pretty much. I've been listening to the new Idols, which I've been loving. Mm-hmm. They're a band I have been listening to for the last 2 years. They're kind of like, there are certain bands that come along that you're just like, they're going to be big.
Yeah.
And that is the band that I'm like, 4 years from now, they're going to be playing all the huge venues.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been listening to them. I've been listening to Fontaines DC,
who
I really like. They actually opened for Idols on their last tour.
Uh-huh.
And like the lead singer is very Ian Curtis-like. And like, it's a very intense show. Mm-hmm. Like he's very intense.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else in the band is just kind of like English and standing there.
So he's like freaking out and they're like, doo, doo, doo.
And he's like staring people down like, I will fucking come into the crowd and kill you. And you're just like, he will. He will come into the crowd and kill you. I wore my special Joy Division t-shirt for
nice.
You. Oh,
nice. Very nice.
Awesome. Yeah, that's fabulous.
Yeah. For the people who can't see it.
Yes.
It's the back of the Unknown Pleasures record.
It's so awesome.
I know. I'm like, what are we wearing? Alan's wearing a Lagwagon.
I'm wearing an Aquabat shirt.
An Aquabat shirt and a Lagwagon hoodie. I've got Bad Cop. And
it's just always band shirts. Attack. That's it. That's always.
Been the best part of quarantine because before I was going into work and I could never wear my band t-shirts. And we have about a million between the two of us. And I've actually been able to wear my band t-shirts. It's been actually fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, when I turned 40, I had to do the, I have to stop buying band t-shirts.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
You can only have so many. And now it's the same thing. I'm like wearing I have like an anti-Morrissey t-shirt that I just wear all of the time.
That's very understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 39. I don't think I'm ever going to stop. Because the only problem is we're running out of room to put them.
We're running out of room. But I have figured out like a weird like caveat leeway system right now is that because of quarantine, I'm going to a larger size of t-shirt. And some of the t-shirts from when I was like a skinny mini actually fit our 9-year-old. So she's slowly getting the shirt. So she'll come walking in. And the last time she had a Mattersville shirt on, the PMA shirt, she looked so cool.
Well,
and
I like it when she wears a Texas Chainsaw Massacre
Alan
shirt.
Alan gave her a Texas Chainsaw Massacre shirt. And so I actually I have a Bad Religion shirt that's going to fit her perfect and an Alkaline Trio one. So she's really going to be the one, she and the son will be the ones who benefit from us.
Yeah.
yeah. like running out of room because they're just going to start inheriting a lot of those shirts. And I think I might go the way of Mike Terry and get a blanket made of the ones that have died.
Yeah, for sure.
This is good stuff. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you worried about your kids going to school wearing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Well, okay. She was using it as like pajamas, essentially. Okay.
When she was little. Because
it was too big. But now it's getting to the point where it almost fits her. So if she were to wear that to school, I would be the proudest father on the planet.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I have a Leatherface tattoo. That's my favorite movie in the world. Like, our house is just decked out in horror gear and horror shit and punk shit. So if she were to do that, I'd be very proud of her.
Well, and anytime he has to go to any kind of like parent-teacher conference, he will wear a button-up shirt, but it's like either a punk rock saves lives one or an attack shirt or something. Like
Misfits
whenever
or, it's got to be something.
If we go, we've found like the nice button up shirts that are actually band shirts. So that's his way of always continuing to have some sort of band t-shirt.
I'll never grow up. I've just accepted the fact I'm never going to grow up. So
you get old, but you don't need to grow up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and see, I just have to. With work, so I work at a hospital, and so I have my lanyard to get into all of the different areas, and so I put all of my band buttons on that.
Yeah.
And so that's my weird way of getting around it, and my lanyard's actually from the Flogging Molly cruise, and so when people are like, what's salty dog mean? I'm like, don't worry about it.
It's not for you.
I'm like, I don't want anybody to tell me I can't wear it anymore.
So obviously you make concert posters, and that's obviously been tough to try and... You know, there are no concerts happening, so obviously that's gotta sting a little bit. But you do make some really, really cool shit. And
awesome.
Before I go any further, I want to give out your website because I definitely recommend everyone go there and check out everything that Jeff has because it's mm-hmm. really the art style is my favorite. I love what you do and I
yes.
love the way you do it. The website is rocketsared.com, but it's rockets-r-red.com.
And I just posted the poster that I just got recently on our Talk Music to Me SLC Instagram. So I've got that tagged. So like seriously, go buy some posters and make your house even cooler than it was before.
And usually I do all the plugs at the end, but I'm so spacey since quarantine hit. So I didn't want to forget because it's the stuff you do is really, really cool. We mm-hmm. are huge, huge fans in our house.
And the stickers. If the stickers are on the table.
We got one right there.
Yeah, we've got stickers on the table. We've got stickers on our bookcases. We've got stickers on our water bottles. I don't think Alan has a penchant for breaking water bottles. And it's been extremely sad because the last two that he broke had his most favorite stickers on them, and which included some Rockets or Red stickers.
Yep.
And it just died. He is like amazingly good at breaking water bottles. I don't know how he does it.
I just drop them.
How do you break a metal water bottle?
Well, they're not. It's actually plastic. It's
mine's,
these Nalgene,
mine's metal.
It's the Nalgene one. So this one's new. So it only has two stickers on it. But I don't know. I just drop it, man, and it fucking breaks on me. I don't know how it happens because these things are supposed to be indestructible.
And I always hear him going, no, from the other room. I don't know how he does
news.
It. And but, by the way, we do need an address for you because we just got Talk Music to Me stickers. So ooh. We'll send you some.
I've had to take down my address.
Because people were bothering you.
I've literally had people show up at my house looking for stuff.
Are you serious?
Like, I am not joking. And like back when I was doing a lot of Gaslight stuff, I had people showing up like, do you have this record? Can I buy one from you?
Oh my
and I'm like,
God.
It's fucking 10 o'clock at night, man. And like, I don't have a gun, but if I had one.
Oh my God.
Shoot you. What the fuck are you doing?
Oh my, okay.
So, that's wild, man. So I mean, that as if you're the record label or something.
I know. People get desperate when they really want something. It can be really weird.
Well, like I have some weird stuff that I've done for them that like either never was made or, you know, like there are comps of books that came out that, you know, were never fully fleshed out or whatever. So like I have some cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean I want to meet people. And that does not mean I want you at my house. And like, you know, I'm a one man shop, which is like why I am so appreciative of wonderful people like you who support me, because like really at a certain point, like the $20 that someone sends me, like that is a very tangible thing yes. for me. Like, I will put that to new artwork that's being made, or I'll use it to pay for my website or my software or something like that. So mm-hmm. I am definitely one of those people. Like, I always try to thank people who are supporting me. I always try to throw in extra stickers.
You always throw in extra stuff. So thank you for that. Because we get, whenever we order stuff, what are the, Alan will always be like, didn't even include an extra sticker. Like when he, sometimes when we spend a lot and it's like, damn it.
Well, I know
so we get really happy when people
really,
throw in some extra stuff. You put in a lot, which is
you're really
nice.
Good at it. Ryan from Off With Their Heads is really good at it. There's some people you order from and it's nice just to have that little extra thing. But man, Kings Road is the worst, man. They will never throw in anything free, ever. Ever. They're so corporate though, but it makes sense. But what is it? Well,
if we're gonna talk shit about them, I can go for days. They, I shit you not, were indirectly involved with me having a nervous breakdown one night.
Oh okay, God. So we're gonna hear the story. Yes.
Sure. I'm not gonna name names.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't name names.
Don't name names. Yeah.
Right.
Because
keep it very vague.
This gentleman with an accent literally said he would fly to my house and kill my entire family because they didn't want to pay out the entire contract. And they, for with me, they didn't want to pay me. And they, quote, gave me enough money already. So we
Jesus
should. So Jeff, you don't need any more money.
You're like, okay.
I was like, motherfucker. I know how much we made. I know how much those sold out for. The $50,000 you made off of me, you can do the extra $500 that you promised.
Oh my God.
What the fuck? What is that mentality? Because I'm a freelancer too. Like I do freelance editing. What is that mentality where if this was just a regular company, they would never dream of doing something like that because there's a contract, mm-hmm. it's written up. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, again, with freelancers, it seems like people don't have a problem. And these are the people who need it most are the freelancers.
Yes.
And they don't have a problem screwing them out of money.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I had never had a problem working for, like, a dentist or working for, like, a nonprofit or, like, corporate people. But the people who were always the most like, we're so punk rock, we're a family, you know, we're going to ride or die, are always the first to like fuck you over, over like minimal amounts of money.
Yeah.
And like, I remember that night, Kings Road was not the one who contacted me directly, but like, you know,
this person
was supposed to get numbers from this person, but they couldn't do it. So then they asked me and I said, well, why don't you just ask Kings Road because they're the ones who did the contract. And that ended up being like, we're going to kill you and your entire family. And I was just like walking around my little alcove, you know, outside just being like, this is so fucked up, man. This is over like $500. Like this is so not worth
and
it.
Talk about a company that doesn't need any more money. Like they're doing just fine.
Okay, so this is what I want to know. How did you get into all of this? Because it's to me like concert posters are just sort of this like illustrious, amazing career that I secretly always desperately wanted to do because of like Jeff Soto, who does a lot of the Pearl Jam stuff. And then Leah Bell, who's here in Salt Lake, who's done a lot of amazing prints. I know. I love Leah Bell. I love her.
Amazing. Does she even do posters anymore?
She and her husband have an amazing shop called Signed and Numbered where they're doing the framing and they do an incredible job. But yeah, she was like my first art crush. And I used to go to Kilby Court and just like patiently wait for the show to be over so that I could get a poster because that was the first thing that I collected. And she would always be very sweet and say, as soon as the show is over, you can have it, but leave me the push pins. And I'm like, okay. And then I would go to her shows. And but yeah, like I always have been intrigued on how people get into this whole thing. So So tell us your story.
Well, and then I think we should talk about the end of those cycles as well.
For sure.
I think that is a very telling story. But yeah, Leia is amazing.
Oh, she's incredible.
She actually, when she opened up Signed and Numbered, she actually bought a lot of stuff off me.
Oh, no way.
And she was very supportive and very nice.
She was amazing human.
And like, I'm not friends with her. Like, we're like, you know, she doesn't know me from anybody, but she's always been very kind and considerate to me.
Mm-hmm.
And her work is so like charming and like endearing, mm-hmm. and like sentimental in like all of the best ways,
mm-hmm.
not in like the tacky hotel art, but like you want to like hug every single poster she's done.
Oh no, seriously. Like all of her posters I keep in a art portfolio, and it's like one of my most like precious things, because those are the ones that I had to stand on chairs to reach. And she and Phil are like the cutest couple ever. I just think that they're lovely.
And she has like cute kids.
Yes. Yeah. And she's the sister of the guitarist from Weezer.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. She's cool. She's a cool chick, man. She's a very cool chick. Okay. So tell us how you got into it. I got to hear this.
So I'll give you the abbreviated version. So I got my master's degree in graphic design at the School of Visual Arts back in 2004. And I just paid off my $100,000 student loan to go there. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's impressive. Damn.
And so when I was there, the program is called like Designer as Author, which mm-hmm. is more of like Designer as Entrepreneur, where we are very pushed to go create a company, to go make products, to go, you know, have a voice and to put it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very geared towards people like me, like people who like to hustle, people who like to make stuff. And so I was taking a screen printing class with this really burnt out hippie guy who it was like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And it was like me and four other people, because art students, who the fuck is awake at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Unless you're still awake from the night before sometimes.
And so he was just like, yeah, if you want to learn screen printing, just go fucking make shit and then like print it. And I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm a designer, which usually means I like to work with people. I like to communicate a message. I like to do something bigger than myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started looking for bands that I liked who were playing. And I started doing posters for them and reaching out to them. And this is like, and this is 2003, 2004. And like the internet was still kind of a new thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least it was to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like being able to reach out to like Jet Set Records and be like, I noticed Firewater is playing. I really like this band. Can I do a poster for you? And then writing back being like, I guess, you know, like that was a thing. And this mm-hmm. was kind of like when the first wave of poster artists were just be kind of just coming down and about to pick up again.
Mm-hmm.
So you had like all the Koops and the Frank Posicks kind of going on their way out. And then you had like the Aesthetic Apparatus and all those people kind of picking it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there's a designer named Art Chantry. I don't know if you have any clue who he is.
I have not heard that name.
So Art Chantry is going to be the guy, when you look him up, you're going to go, oh, that fucking guy.
I'm going to look it up right now so I can say that fucking guy.
Grunge music, he basically designed the aesthetic for it. He did work for Soundgarden and Mudhoney and Sub Pop.
Oh, okay. I am going to know this guy.
Estes Records. Yeah.
So he basically defined our generation then, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what we know, what we came up with in music, that's kind of, he's behind that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he basically is like me in 20 years. He's like, you know, he has less hair than I do. He's covered in terrible tattoos. He's like angry and bitter as fuck.
Dead Kennedys.
And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And so like, I'm in class one day and like he's walking through.
Ooh.
And I'm like, and I walk over and I have my book and I'm like, Mr. Chantry, will you sign my book? And he looks at the book and I have a post-it note in the book. And he just goes, copying all my shit, aren't you, you little fuck? And I was just like,
what? Yeah. Kinda, was he
let's
serious?
Call it influencing.
Was he serious? Was he joking? Was he?
He kind of like, I mean, all the people like me were like, great, all these young fucks are coming up who will do my job for free. So fuck this kid.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he was like kidding on the square. You know, it was kind of like, yeah, thanks for the job, at, you know, thanks for the sincerity, fuckhead. So, yeah, he liked it and was annoyed at it by the same time. But, like, so I, you know, that's how I got started, was just reaching out to people and being like, can I do a poster for you?
I love that.
And they'd be like, sure. And I'd be like, can I get into the show? And they'd be like, all right. And I'd be like,
is it just you? Because we only have two guest passes.
When I lived in New York, like, okay, so, hey, it's Yoshi again.
Oh, hi.
My cat just jumped up right onto my crotch. there you go.
I'm waiting for Murder Eyes to happen.
So, like, you know, as much as I loved my program, I was, like, the only punk in my class. I mean, it's a really expensive school to go to, filled mm-hmm. with like really famous designers who like don't have time for bullshit. And like, you know, people are like, I don't shop at Target. I only shop at, you know, at the Met gift shop. And, and anything less than, you know, $10,000 on a piece of furniture, I just don't want to be involved with. And I'm like going down to St. Mark's and all that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know. I'd be standing there with like a box of Ritz crackers going, oh, really? So how much do you spend?
And so like I remember one night, like the entire class went to a wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go see Bleeding Through at the Electric Factory. And like it was like me and like 10 other people watching a guy on stage punching himself. Like a woman on keyboard, like lighting herself on fire, you know, it was just like, and I'm like, this is awesome. Nobody else in my class liked it. So like I went to WrestleMania 20.
Oh my
and
God.
And I'm like crying at the end. I'm like, this is so amazing. And everybody else was like, I was like talking about it in class and you could like see like the visible disgust in people's face. But what's funny, you know, looking back on it now, is there are a lot of really talented designers in my class, really fucking talented. Very few of them are still doing what they wanted to do
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them have gone on to do good, you know, they have well-paying, they do nice work, yada, yada, yada. But it's all like really boring shit.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's interesting to me, and I'm totally going to brag for a minute, which I very rarely do. So this is like seeing flower blossom at night. But like, so like in like where I live, we have a design organization called the AIGA. And every 2 years, they select like the 50 best pieces of graphic design in Maryland, DC, Virginia, and West Virginia. And so I ended up this year winning 5 awards. So I am like 1/10 of like the best design in Washington. And this
Hell
is out of
yeah.
like thousands of entries.
Dude, well, I can see it. I can see it. Your designs are amazing.
And like the shit that won was for like a Lucha Libre Mexican wrestling convention, you know? And like, for the packaging for Battery, you know, like a hardcore band from DC. And what makes me proud is like when I was in school and shit, people really talked down about this type of design, like lowbrow art, or God, my cat keeps jumping on me.
I know, it's funny. I keep seeing a tail and he's attacking again. This is just validating why Alan doesn't like cats. Yeah.
He's my adorable little jerk face. but like there's, you know, before we were talking about this idea of people taking like the $50 for the band so seriously and like why they carry guns. And it always amazes me because like punk gets very little respect. Local music mm-hmm. gets very little respect.
Yeah.
But the people who are in that tribe take it really fucking seriously.
Uh-huh.
You know, to a point where I think it's ridiculous. You know, 9 times out of 10, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? But like, it's nice to get validation that what, you know, people like you and I spend our time on is important, mm-hmm. is as credible and as well thought of, and what's the word? Just like that we care enough to do beautiful things and put it out into the world. Mm-hmm. And even though other people don't necessarily appreciate it, you know, there is a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I go to these shows and like, you know, my Jawbreaker poster is next to like the 400.
Do you just walk in like this?
Yeah. Like next to the monolith from the Smithsonian, you know, that's beautiful and costs $800. It's a nice, like, fuck yeah. You know, fuck yeah, I rock, you know, fuck it. All the people who fired me for being a shitty designer.
Well, how does it work? So if a band needs like a tour poster, a concert poster, how directly are you working with them to come up with a design, or do they just leave it all up to you?
It really varies. I'm lucky enough now that one, I don't need to take every job that comes to me, and 9 times out of 10, I turn down work because mm-hmm. I'm just old and curmudgeonly. Or it's like, hey, we need this tomorrow. And I'm like, no, because I want to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I had and have a very steady crew of people who just like what I do. And they'll say, hey, this is the album. This is kind of what we're thinking of. Just come up with ideas.
Hell yeah.
And I basically get like brain diarrhea. And if I'm really into the band, I will come up with like 20 or 30 sketches.
Ooh.
And you say, ooh, yeah. They're basically like, here's a person. It's a line.
I was just like, going to ask how intricate they were.
Oh, they're not. Like, I mean, I show them to my kids and my kids are like, dad, like, what are you doing? Like, I could do this left-handed. And you call yourself an artist, you are not.
You're getting paid for this? Like, come on,
it's,
man.
It's just to get the idea down. Sure.
You're sure, like, guys, sure. Be nice. I'm proud of it.
So, like, I'll just do really quick things, and I'll be like, this red line is a woman, you know, sprawled out on a couch, and this blue line is the cat jumping on her, you know. And then I'll do, like, 15 of those and send them over. And they'll pick one, and then I can usually flesh it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, the concept behind the piece is usually the hardest part. And then the execution goes fairly quickly. It's very rare now to have people really try to art direct me.
That's gotta be nice.
And honestly, like the times that has happened, it has not gone well. And it's just because, like, I consider myself a designer, not an illustrator.
Uh-huh.
And so when people, like, I was getting hired by, like, Oprah Magazine and Variety, and they'd be like, this is what we want. You know, we want these three actresses on the heads of Emmy Awards, all looking, like, into the future and everything. And I'm just like, I don't know how to fucking draw that. and I don't care to draw that. And the $150 you want to pay me isn't enough to motivate me to want to draw that.
Oh my gosh, you get to be the crotchety artist now. You've descended.
I like to think of it as ascended.
Not descended. Sorry.
Well, they hire you for your skills, you know, and then micromanaging, I think, would just be a waste of their money and a waste of time for everybody, because they're hiring you for your expertise and what you do. They like your style, so they should let you do your work.
Yeah. And I see it as very, I'm not really a artist. Like, I'm not just like, I'm going to paint this pink and it's the expression of my inner emotions upon the world. Like, I'm not doing that. I am trying to like deliver a message and a feeling, you know. God, I sound like Milhouse's dad when I said that.
That's my next tattoo, by the way. It is. It's going to be a tape deck and it's going to say, can I borrow a feeling?
I know. I just sent him the image that he's so fucking excited. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, I have a tattoo of Peppermint Butler. So, you know, nothing. I have like the least intimidating tattoos. Everyone's always like, what the fuck's on this guy? He has pictures of candy on him? Ugh.
Well, and then I have a question for all three of us, because so Alan with doing film and then Jeff with doing this kind of stuff. And with me, I don't when it's something creative, I don't do super great with somebody really coming down on me with a lot of like direct. I don't know, like it gets too oppressive at a certain point. And I think that's why, like, I had a previous career with trying to do like creative stuff and it burnt me out. It made me hate art and hate people, because I was just like, I don't want to work with them if they're going to tell me like have to fix it 50,000 times, you know? So I'm wondering if you guys kind of feel like that too.
Well, I think Jeff, he's reached the dream where he doesn't have to put up with that bullshit. Like, I'm still, I'm an editor, so obviously it's going to be micromanaged to the T, to the frame, essentially. But I think Jeff, what you've done, I mean, you put in a lot of hard work. You're obviously very talented. I think you've earned the right to kind of turn down jobs and to do things your own way. I mean, that's why we do it, right? That's why we're in art.
Well, for me, I really got to a point where I realized a lot of the work I was putting out, I didn't like, and I actively was ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work for yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kind of going back to what we were talking about before, like having that breakdown where you're just like, I worked a fucking month to do these posters for you. You guys made $50,000 and we're arguing over you paying me the $500 you said. You have got to be fucking kidding me. Mm-hmm. And just sitting there being like, why am I doing this? And so like when you're working for yourself, it's like, you just take on anything that you can. You do that variety piece.
Yeah.
Because your mom knows what variety is.
And you need the money.
And the money is nothing, but you're like, you know, I need the $150 because that's a cable bill or internet bill.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, your mom doesn't know who the Dropkick Murphys are. So, you know, you being like, I did a poster for the Dropkick Murphys.
And she kind of goes, son.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have some type of like scrotal disease? Like, you know, like, what's that? So like, you know, you take on every job that you can. And now I'm just like, yeah, I just want to put out good work.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, I will say with this whole quarantine thing, I have so much extra time. So like every piece I'm putting out is like something I'm proud of.
Nice.
It's something that I can get behind. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. But like we were talking before about like Jeff Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about Jeff Soto or Leah Bell, you know, I look at Jeff Soto and I go like, oh, he's the fucking pinnacle. But I remember like a few years ago on Instagram, he was talking about taking like an assistant professorship.
Yeah. Isn't he still doing that?
What was that?
Isn't he still doing that?
He is.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
And it is. But you think like, and he was talking and he goes, yeah, it's really cool to do work for Metallica, but it takes a month to do a poster and you make $2,000. You know, he's like, that's $500 a week. That's what, 10 bucks an hour?
Yep.
He's like, you can't live off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so what? You have to do 2 posters. You have to do 3 posters. You have to do 4 posters. So you're working yourself to death trying to keep up. And yes, doing gig posters and doing design for bands is really glamorous. It doesn't necessarily pay the bills.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, you know, it's a very hard life when you do art for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even weirder is, like, if you do start making it about money, people get very angry with you.
Yes.
You know, unless you're, you know, unless you're like working for like hip hop groups who are all about the money, if you're doing it for like punk bands or like indie bands or whomever, it's like, well, why the fuck should you make a living off of this? You know? And it gets like really weird. Like, I had some dude named Colin from Ireland who like for years would get angry with me for selling posters. And he would be like, I don't think it's right that you're selling this poster for $50. And I just not reply to him because I don't care about Colin, because Colin doesn't buy anything from me.
Fuck Colin.
Fuck you, Colin. Yeah.
But like, then you realize, oh, what Colin was doing was buying my posters and then flipping them. And so if he bought a poster for $20 and he could flip it for $50, he just made $30 off of my work.
That's an extra fuck you to Colin. God damn it,
I know.
Man.
Don't be a Colin,
son
people.
Of a bitch. Fuck Colin.
He's the new Karen.
I have no problem with people flipping my work. I mean, once it's out the door, I mean, fucking burn it for kindling. I don't care. do whatever you want with it, but don't get angry for artists trying to make a living honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many rules placed on you by people who aren't doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, crying sellout at every moment. And it's like, well, you know, dude, like, no one's trying to buy your shit. So it's really easy not to sell out when no one cares. Well, like, I think I've done a pretty good job here.
Yeah. You know?
One of the things that always makes me laugh is, God, what was that first Gaslight record on the major label?
It's not the 59 sound.
Handwritten?
Shit. Yeah, I think so. I think it was Handwritten.
Handwritten. So I don't even think the band knows this. I'm the one who got that released on vinyl.
How'd you do that?
So I went into a meeting with the people at Mercury Universal, and we're going through the list of like, oh, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And they're telling me some like really hokey shit that they wanted to do. Like, we want to do a book, then put it into a box. And then the box will have a necklace in it with a pin with like these stickers. And we're going to charge like $100 for it.
Oh my God.
Really? Okay. That seems lame. And so we're going through it and I was like, yeah, so we're doing vinyl, right? And they're like, no. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, no one buys vinyl.
This is a record label.
Sitting there with the two, and they were very nice people, but like with the two women, and they're surrounded with like Bieber, Mariah Carey, and Kanye records.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. Gaslight's a little bit different.
Yeah, not, just a little bit different.
The crowd's different. The what's the demographic is different.
Yeah, and I'm explaining that to them very patiently, and they're like, "Yeah, no one does vinyl anymore." And I'm like, "No, like, you really need to go through and look at this. Like, you really need to do vinyl." We're kind of going back and forth, and I finally was just like, I very rarely get angry, because I lift heavy weights and then I put them back down and that gets all the anger out. So this was before that. But I remember just being like, I picked up a chair and I was just like, you have to fucking do fucking vinyl. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Don't you know your fucking jobs? And they were just like, I guess we'll do vinyl. And so
I want to try that in a meeting.
So they were like, well, here's the problem. You can only produce 10,000 units of a record. You can't do any less. And I remember just being like, no. I know people who literally press like 10 records.
Yeah.
Like,
how can they be in the record business and not know those kind of details?
And then the promotion business, because, you know, like the 6 inches, when you do the promotional run, that's usually what, about 100? Maybe like less than 500.
But like, they don't know who Pirate's Bay is. They don't know who records are. Like, they're used to dealing with million selling records, you know, platinum artists. And so by me throwing my little man tantrum, like, you know, Kavanaugh, something actually good came out of it. And it was like, they ended up doing the record and it went on pre-sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take credit for this. That fucking pre-sale with the records made it so that Gaslight debuted at like number 3
on
the chart. So did I get an edible arrangement? No.
Bragging rights.
Well, and not only that, but I'm sure you saved Brian and the rest of the guys a shitload of headache, because they would have been inundated with messages from fans being like, when's this going to be released on vinyl, man? Mm-hmm. I need it on vinyl.
Yeah. I need it on vinyl.
Yeah. So good job, man.
Hold on.
Thank you.
No, but that's got to be infuriating, being on that side trying to talk to people that are like, I don't get it. But we like necklaces.
Oh, seriously. Did you get that box? I think I have one of those. And I remember just like doing a pity party when they like sent it to me to like look at. And I was just like, this is shit. I don't know what, like, you expect people not to get angry when they get this in the mail. Like, oh,
well,
I actually got hate mail over that. And I was like, it's not fucking my problem, man. I just made the one thing in there look good. So
but you've done kind of
questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done posters and you've worked with a lot of amazing bands. I mean, some of our favorite. I know, like Frank Turner, Bouncing Souls.
Because when we found you, we were like, oh my God, he's got Bouncing Souls. Yeah. Got concert posters.
There's just so much cool shit. And I just wonder, it's got to be hard to narrow down. Any favorite bands that you've worked with? Anyone who's especially nice to you? Any work that you're especially proud of? Anything like that?
I'm going to tell two stories because you mentioned these bands. So Frank Turner was playing at the 930 Club. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I had only met him once, and this was that moment. So I'm going to the 930 Club, and it's a whole, like, it used to be a really shitty area. It was one of those places like you would drive to, park, hope your car wasn't broken into,
or still there. Yeah.
Run at the end of the night to your car. Okay. Tough neighborhood. And so the whole area is gentrified. You know, there's sushi restaurants everywhere. And so he's in the alley by the 930 Club, like, doing his little, thing. And like, I walk over, I drop off like the gajillion posters, and like, you know, the manager's like, oh, do you want to meet Frank? And I'm like, I guess, you know, like, I do not like meeting people. And like, if you're like, hey, do you have a picture of you at Gaslight Anthem? No, I don't. Because it feels weird to be like, hey guys, I know you just paid me a lot of money to do this. Okay, well, maybe not a lot of money. I know you paid me money. Can I get a picture? Like, it feels weird to do that. You know, like, I don't work for you, I work with you. Uh-huh. So it's like, you know, anyways, that's just me being a weirdo. And so like, I go over and like, I'm waiting for Frank. I guess he was doing like the do-do-do-do-do thing for like an interview or something that was going to post online. As I'm waiting, these like four hipsters walk by and they go, who the fuck's that asshole? Fuck that guy. And just like keep on walking. And I'm just like, he fucking sold out the place tonight. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. You're like, well, it's totally one of those like, yeah, I can sell this out, you know. And they kept on walking. So I know we're on Zoom and no one else can see this but us. I have a Bouncing Souls tattoo.
My same tattoo.
Look, you guys have the same tattoo.
We have matching tattoos.
Matching. You guys just became best friends.
Although yours looks much better than mine. Mine's very faded.
So this is, but I got a DC one. So like the Washington Monument and the Capitol and the Lincoln Memorial. So Brian tattooed this on me.
Awesome.
Did he? Did you at Anchors Away?
At or was this not Anchors Away? This was like years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we want to go and get a tattoo from him so bad.
Yeah.
And he is the nicest guy.
Yes.
But you know, this is one of those stories of like punk doesn't pay. So I am visiting Asbury Park. We're going to go see, I think, Against Me play at the Stone Pony, a little like little small
Pony
show.
Yeah.
Which, was ends up being one of the most violent shows I've ever been to.
Oh my God. I
ended up, side note. So we're like watching the band, like Against Me is about to come on and we're all like up front, like, you know, and there's like signs that say like no stage diving, no moshing. 5 seconds in, some dude, the whole, like, everybody rushes the stage. A guy starts grabbing my wife and strangling her.
Holy shit.
Screaming, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you, bitch.
Oh, my God. Like,
we don't know who this person is. And so, like, I'm trying to push the guy off of her.
Oh, my
God. And he's full on strangling her. And I finally, like, kind of just, like, put my elbow under his chin and like push him off. And he just goes, fuck your bitch. Fuck you too. And I just punched him as hard as I could in the face. And my wife collapses.
Oh my God.
Literally like kind of passed out.
Did she get hurt?
I have to like grab her and get her out of the Stone Pony, which if anyone knows the Stone Pony from the bar to the stage, it's like 20 feet. It's not that big. And like, I was just like, what the fuck is up with that guy? And later we're walking back to the car and we see him and his whole face is like covered in blood. Like I totally like broke his nose. Like it's not a pretty scene.
Hold on.
And like, but like you want to go up to him and be like,
what is wrong with you?
Like, was it like, what, like, is she like, did she remind you of an ex-girlfriend? Like, what is going on here? And then I'm also like, wow, my tattoo really hurts because this fucking dude was jumping on me. But anyway, so I went to Neptune Tattoos and Brian was getting married, I think the day after. And he basically was like, I need money. So I'm going to do this job. And like, I wasn't doing one of those like, hey man, like I've done a lot of work for you. Kind of get the hookup.
Right.
I was like, hey man, I've done a lot of work for you. You know, could you tattoo me? I will gladly, like I'm in town only for a couple of days. And he did it. And as we're talking, it's like the Jeff Soto thing of like, yeah, you're a known punk band, but no one, you're not making that much money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I remember at the end, like, he was like, okay, the tattoo, he was super cool. We talked the entire time until, like, my voice just gave out. And he was super nice. And, like, at the end, I gave him, like, whatever the tattoo was, I, like, paid him as much in a tip.
Yeah.
And he was just like, are you sure? And I was like, dude, like, you're my favorite fucking band.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please take more money. You know, like I play your music like every day. But it's this feeling of like you love these bands and like they don't make money.
They really don't. And it's like we met them last summer, I think.
Yeah.
We had a chance to meet them. And I remember talking to him and I was like, one of these days, man, I'll be out your way. I'm going to get tattooed by you. And he's like, I'm sure I'll be there till I die.
Yeah.
Because they're not, it just doesn't pay. It doesn't pay.
And I don't think people realize that. And like during the times that I was doing a lot of promoting, like my trunk was always full of Top Ramen, Cup of Noodles, and peanut butter and jelly. Because if a band was having a really rough go, oh, and cold medicine. Because if a band was having a rough
night and they needed to. And I always bought merch. I'd always say, if you want to support a band, buy their merch, because they generally get to keep the majority of that. When they're on tour, I'm like, that might be their gas. That might be the difference of whether they eat or not. And so it was always funny, because when people would be like, I don't understand why they don't just give me a shirt for free because I love them so much. And it's like, dude, they need that money.
Well, we've been saying on the show forever, always go out and buy the merch.
Yes.
And support
especially
them and
right
tip
now.
The merch people too.
Yes, like, tip the merch people, because that's their job, yeah. You know, and they need it. So
I've gotten to the point, there have been a few bands like Jeff Rosenstock. I fucking love Jeff Rosenstock.
Dude, he's one of those guys that I think would be so much fun just to hang out with for 24 hours, just to see what his fucking life is like.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go the exact opposite way. I think he would get on my nerves so quickly, because he's just like, hey, everybody, I'm Jeff Rosenstock. Let's go have a fun time. And I'm just like, dude, bring it down a level. You know?
You're like, this is the first time I've been out of the house and you're really hurting my ears.
And I say that with like the most amount of love, because like he seems like the most sincere, you know, when people talk about like DIY punk, he seems to live it and mm-hmm. like love it. And he seems to be a fantastic guy. That being said, all of his merchandise is fucking awful. So the last few times I've seen that, like I've seen him play with like Chris Farron a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I literally am like, here's $20. I don't want anything. Oh, would you like to have a gay pride flag that says 666 and has pot leaves all over it? No. No.
So do you think he does that on purpose? Because I know the design of his records and stuff is not, you know, it's not your work, we'll put it that way. So do you think that he's doing it like campy on purpose, or do you think it's just not good?
Well, see, like I really like his Post and Worry, I think are great record covers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, like, he's like, I'm gonna print this on a powder blue shirt. And I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking? Black shirt. Okay. If you'd like to do the limited edition on like yellow, go right ahead. No one buys powder blue shirts. Okay. Like I work for a wrestler named Dalton Castle, mm-hmm. who is the Planet Peacock. Like he's very flamboyant.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I'd really like to print this on a purple shirt. And I'm like, no one's going to buy it at all. And then he prints it on the purple shirt. And he's like, no one bought it. Like,
can't imagine why.
I would have bought one. I love purple.
And then he's like, oh, let's print it on the black shirt. Oh, look, you sold 200 of them. But now you have 150 on purple. So you broke even.
Well,
but like Chris Farron's the same. I'm just like, dude, you're fucking amazing. Like, here's $10. I don't want anything of yours. I don't need a picture of you drawn on Microsoft Paint or MS Paint naked with a mustache that says Chris Farron is hot. I don't need that in my life.
Oh, God, that's funny.
That would bring up a lot of weird, you know, questions about me when I'm hanging out with my two kids.
Yeah. So. That's another, well, that's some, like sometimes when we get shirts and I'm like, crap, we can't wear this in front of the kids, but I think we still kind of do anyway.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point now where it's so hard to watch my language and to watch what I wear, 'cause I have so much offensive stuff around the house that it's like, well, you know, kind of is what it is at this point.
That's true.
Well, like, do you, like, we've brought our kids to see Against Me play, and we got into Against Me with a trans, oh God, I can't remember the trans, what is it, Dysphoria Blues?
Yes, yes.
Sorry. I'm horrible with names. And I remember trying to work with her before the transition, and she was not a nice person.
That's what I've heard.
And she had a very public falling out with Gaslight Anthem. So when the Gaslight Anthem guy is like, hey, can I come work for you? I think the response was go fuck off and die. So I was like, Oh yeah, if you ever really want to dig deep onto the internet, look into their lawsuit with their former manager, and that's like
against Mies.
Against me?
Yeah.
Okay.
With their former manager.
Ooh, let's look that up. Yeah. Now I'm curious.
I'm writing it down.
If you can find it, it's interesting. Fat Mike was involved with it as well.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. Was there? Well, I'm like, I don't. If Fat Mike is involved, that scares me a little bit.
Oh, I've been listening to like a few podcasts with Fat Mike, and I'm like, I got it, dude. You like to be a bottom.
Cool. Dude, you know what? I just listened to an interview with him too, and it was pretty much, I had the same thing. It's like, all right, you really think you're the best music writer in the world, and yeah, you really like to take it up the ass. You really do. Cool.
And everyone must wear a dress.
Yeah.
Everyone in a dress.
I wish I had that confidence.
Yeah.
Like, some really nice company just did a documentary on me. And it's like 3 minutes long, and I totally have like the quarantine like beard. Stash, and my hair is really gross.
I was gonna say, Alan has the quarantine hair. It's getting quite long.
He rocks it much better than me. And I like straight up, I'm like, I don't want to show anybody this.
Right.
Like, I don't want to talk about myself at all. I don't want to talk about my work. So this is like a leap of faith.
I was just gonna say, I'm very proud of you. You're.
Thank you.
Getting outside your comfort zone. Hold on.
I know you're killing it too, man.
I know you're doing
great.
We
kept you. I mean, it feels so much fun to talk to you. I don't want it to end. We kept you a long time, but before we let you go, I got to know, are there any, and you don't have to mention any names, and we kind of talked about a little bit of some horror stories, but do you have any in particular, maybe bands that were difficult to work with or situations that were pretty difficult?
No, not particularly difficult. I think there's been a lot of bands that have just let me down.
Mm.
Kind of go like, oh, I thought we were ride or die. And then you just hired a dude who just does my work for free. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, that's got to be like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I've had a few, and I've known a few designers who have actually pitched my work to go work for bands that I wanted to work with.
Oh, my God.
And to then have the bands, when I go to pitch them, go, oh, no, we just saw this work from somebody else. Like, oh, really?
Oh, my God.
What a dick move.
Like, but that's like going back to the Art Chantry. Like, that's how it is, man. Like, the younger group is just like, I'm going to cut you, get ahead of you.
Oh, my God.
I've had a few instances. Okay, we went to go see Deerhoof.
I've heard of this band, but not heard them.
They are like a very, very artsy band, and they're super cool. And like, they're one of those bands where it's like your brain is like leaking out of your ear at the end. Like, they all look really super artsy and emo.
Uh-huh.
And like, the guitar player is doing like spin kicks and like throwing the guitar around, and you're like, dude, it's a mullet. And he's like, rocking this hard. And we went to go see them. This was like a decade ago. And my wife is a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go, we're meeting with the band, and I'm just like, here are the posters.
You know? And the drummer's like, please promise me you do that voice.
let's have a talk. And I'm just like, you know, we're chit-chatting. And I make the joke like, oh yeah, my wife's a therapist. And he just immediately like laser focus on her. And for the next 45 minutes, it's like confessional outpouring. Oh,
free therapy.
What?
Free therapy. Cause she's right there.
And it's like 45 minutes of like, my brother and I have never gotten along, and I think he's a schizophrenic, but I don't know how to diagnose it properly. Oh, and it's just a lot of like, I'm going to go get a drink. Uh-huh. Here. See you in a bit.
Does that happen a lot to her? Do people open up to her like that?
Oh yeah. All the time. And usually it's like people come to see me. They realize I'm boring. She's a therapist. She has to listen. And so they'll just sit there and talk to her for like hours, and she'll just be like mouthing like, fuck you.
you.
I like her.
And so there have been things like that. No, like I really, you know, honestly, I really don't believe in like meeting your idols. And I see what I do as a business, mm-hmm. you know, like I've met Dr. Fauci a bunch of times and you're just kind of like, cool. Dr.
Yeah.
Fauci.
Yeah.
You don't fawn over him. You know, yeah. he's just a dude a who has misspellings in his emails. You know,
like right.
It's no big deal that this, you know, amazing human can't spell the word very correctly. like, you know, I mean, I honestly have like a ton of war stories, but like it's not nearly as cool as like getting tattooed by Brian from the Bouncing Souls
right,
and
right.
how cool that is. Like I got to meet the Ravenettes multiple occasions.
Oh, I promoted their album and they were lovely. Lovely.
They are fantastic. Yes. And they're one of those bands when you're like, I just wish you got big.
Yes.
Like,
I'm shocked that they didn't.
Yeah. And it seemed like their first album, like the pink and black one.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to go over really well,
mm-hmm.
but like Lust and like the one like Raven, like all those ones, like those are fucking amazing. You know, mm-hmm. Bang is like an amazing song. And I met them and they were doing a tour. It was like two of them and a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was like their last go around. And you're sitting there talking to them and they're just like, yeah, we don't make any money doing this. You know, we used to have four or five people on stage with us. Now we have just one other person on stage. We loop things through an iPod. You know, we have samples that we can kick in. And it's just like, you're amazing. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I would do work for them for free.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, you know, I knew I wasn't going to sell any posters. I knew that they would sell posters at the show. And you're just like, I love you. Here's 50 posters, sell them for $20 each. And that's $1,000, mm-hmm. you know, that's hotel rooms for you and your crew tonight, you know? And, you know, it's funny. So I did all those posters for them and, those ended up winning some design awards, which I was very proud of.
Uh-huh.
And, I remember when they won, somebody in the audience just goes, there's nothing but tits on them. Fucking tits. Why the fuck are tits winning? It seems like they're well-designed tits.
Not just any regular everyday tits.
They're well-designed tits.
The areolas are perfectly on center. Okay? No drooping.
The detail is incredible.
It's pristine. Well, Jeff, man, this has been a lot of fun. We got to get you back on because I feel like we could do
more,
like two more hours with you because it's just so much fun to talk to you.
So plan on it.
Feel free if you want to do it again next week or something. The quarantine is going to be lasting here until January. So.
Oh, awesome. I'm guessing.
I wish it would last that long here, but people are too excited to get out. And
I know.
Get everybody sick.
They'll go back. We'll go back once a whole bunch of people die. And
hey, I'm going to be quarantined till at least then.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want to leave the house. So
no.
School is closed down here. NIH is like closed down. So
that's
staying at home.
It's a smart state.
Yeah. We'll drawing my shit and then drawing masked people. Washing their hands.
I like that.
And then being on a podcast every once in a while to share fun stories. Woo-hoo!
I know. It's
you
a lot
did
of fun.
It. We're very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I figure like I'm just going to force my opinions on somebody for a while because nobody else cares. So thank you.
Anytime, man. That's why we're here. And again, the website is rocketsared.com and there are hyphens in between the words. So it's rockets-r-red.com. Check it out. We'll have links to it over at talkmusictomeslc.com. And by the way, I'm pissed off because some asshole took Talk Music to Me and I don't think they're using anything. talkmusictome.com. So we had to that's why we had to do Talk Music to Me SLC. We feel your pain with that. But we'll put links to all your stuff, your social media, website, everything. Go out there, man. I'm telling you, Jeff, designs the best shit you're going to find.
No, seriously, we're fangirling.
If you like this show, you're going to love everything he does. So go check it out at the website. And Jeff, thanks a lot, man. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. Totally appreciate it.
Thanks to Jeff. That was fun.
That was so much fun. I think we learned a lot in this episode. There were so many stories that I wasn't expecting.
You two were geeking out. That was great.
I know. Well, and I think we got kind of a view into like the inside world of concert posters, which I was really hoping for.
Yeah,
and we got to hear a couple of cool stories about certain artists. And so, so that was fun.
It was fun. So thanks, Jeff. We'll definitely get him on again because that was a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Next week, we are going to have a new episode, new interview. So, and I promise you, I will not let it linger for another month or whatever it is. We'll get that out. So until then, I guess we'll, I don't know what to say.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh, my demo tape.
Can I borrow a feeling? Can I borrow a feeling? Ah, there's your picture on the front.
Go ahead, Homer. Laugh at me.
I already did.
This has been a Studio B production.